Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave, coming at you again tonight on a big old Saturday night. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? This is JD of JD's Man Cave. We're here again tonight on a luxurious and illustrious night here in Houston, Texas, where it's hot as you can stand it to be and just as nice as you can want it to be. So, yeah, we're here again, and I appreciate y'all for tuning in to listen to another great show. I'm sure that's going to transpire between me and my co-host. I have a great group of guys that I get together with every weekend, and we sit around and we talk about black men's problems. All right, first, who do I have on the line with me tonight so far?
Now, KJ, hello? Right here, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, what's happening, Reverend KJ? How you doing, big dog? You
doing I'm good, baby boy. I'm good, big homie. Cooling.
Oh, that's what's up. Hey. All right. Well, hold on just 1 second. Let me see what else we got on the line with us tonight, KJ.
You got Colonel Mayan on the line with you.
Hey.
Got Colonel Mayan on the line.
We got our resident country boy, Kenny Wayne, on the line with me tonight. Boy, look here. I show you the respect that you bring to the show, Kenny Wayne. I want you to know that, brother. And
thank you.
I think that's it so far, y'all. It's going to be me, you, and Kenny Wayne so far, KJ.
That's what's up.
Man, look here,
sound
man.
Like a winner to me.
Yeah, sound like an all-star cast to me, baby. That's all I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look here. We make the most of what we got because we got a lot, baby. And this is all
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, man, look, let me tell y'all something, man. It's been a great week for me. I don't know how the week has been for you guys, but, man, I'm not even being real concerned about the way the country is handling this COVID-19 situation, because let me tell you something, man, these people have no course of action, no plan set up to really combat this situation, man. We're dealing with a group of misfits or just playing it by ear. You know, they running this thing like it's a like it's the Little Rascals clubhouse or something. You know what I'm saying? 1 week they talking about shutting down everything down. Next week they opening everything up. You know, and it's wear your mask. Don't worry about your mask. Then it's wear your mask again. I don't know what in the world we're supposed to be doing as Americans to try to help combat this, because I don't think they even know what is the real cause of the COVID-19 situation. What do you fellas think about this, man?
Well, it really, a lot of the blame to me got to go back to Trump. When Obama was in office, Obama had a disease pandemic division during his cabinet. And
right.
His philosophy was, and Obama took a lot of heat for it because we've never been attacked biologically. We never had any biological issues to deal with up to that point. And Obama's principle was, I'd rather have that department to deal with a pandemic and not need it than to need it and not
need
have
it.
Exactly.
Hey,
and as soon
exactly
as Trump
right,
got
brother.
In office, one of his first orders of business was to disband and defund that particular department. So they all, that department was no more. And now
right.
Here we are in this situation. You know, I was hearing about this, the corona, back in October of last year, before it really
right,
got to
right.
this point. And Trump still wasn't really taking any courses of action to deal with it. He waited until it was right there at his front door and all of a sudden tried to address it. But by then, man, shoot, a large percentage of the country done got it. So, you know, now you being reactive as opposed to proactive, and here we are.
Exactly. Here we are. Kenny Wayne, how you feel about it, bro? What's your thoughts on this situation that's going on in America?
Well, when you got an idiotic sociopath up in there the man that's putting himself. You know, he put it out about Trump. It ain't about nobody else but him. His ego is just killing the country.
Yep.
You know, like Brother KJ said, you know, Obama had that plan in motion. He had a game plan. Everything that Obama had, he's trying to tear down. I read an article where one of the top Republicans said it wasn't about Obama's policy and what he was trying to do. So you know what it was about. You know, they still had that mentality that we're going to have your face here up here, but we ain't going to let you do what you think you're going to do.
Right.
You know,
not hear some of our own people talking about.
You're absolutely right, though, brother. I mean, the thing that has amazed me, I think we got another one of our co-hosts on the line. Who's joining in with us now?
Oh, this is Red Joe.
Oh, hey, what's up, Big Red Joe?
What's up, Red Joe?
Yeah. And I think we got the other host here as well. I think, Bobino, you on the line with us?
You already know.
Bobino, what's up, boy? Look here. Good to hear from you, Bobino. Y'all, we got the whole cast here tonight, baby. We ought to have a wing, as they used to say in the country, we ought to have a wing gang doodle tonight, man. Look here, we were talking about, fellas, the way that our country found itself ill-prepared for this COVID-19 situation and the pandemic itself. And the thing is, Kenny Wayne and KJ, Reverend KJ brought up some good points about Trump's dismantling of a force that Obama had started to deal with pandemic. But you have to understand that Trump ran his entire campaign on the premise of destroying everything that Obama had created. And he won because of that, because there were so many people who wanted to counteract the fact that we had just had our first black president, and they were willing to fall for this foolishness and this, Kenny Wayne so put it, idiotic sociopath as the president of the United States. So here we are stuck with this situation, at least until November anyway, and I hope you fellas are, look, I don't care if I got to camp out like I'm going to get the new Jays, I'm going to be in line to vote, because we got to get this clown out of office. He's embarrassing to this country, he's embarrassing to himself, he's just he's going to be a blemish on the United States track record from here on out. We ended up electing a dummy as a president of the United States. A reality.
JD, can I jump in on that?
We have made him a president. Yeah, go ahead, Bobby. Don't chime in, brother.
Several points. Number one, Barack technically wasn't our first black president. Our president was John Henson when he was elected as president of these United States to the Continental Congress. Back in 1790, I want to believe. That's just a quick history lesson. Since then, we've had several men of questionable origin. One president, his mother could not attend his inauguration because she was not a Caucasian American.
Right.
And we've had several presidents who've had questionable origin. But let's see what we got. First of all, one of the reasons why Trump was elected, and it was our fault because we did not go out and vote. If you think about every Democratic election where Democratic president has won, they have won with more than 90% of the black vote, 92, 93, 94% of the black vote. When Obama went out, we had almost close to 96% of the black vote when he won. And he didn't win the popular election, but he won with 96%. He had 96% of the black vote. Now, think about Clinton. Clinton had 93-94% of the black vote. Now, Hillary only had 88%. And in those key states where we should have voted, we did not because we stayed at home because Bernie Sanders said so. So we lost out. So we got Trump by mere default. And Hillary won, and Hillary had more popular votes. Hillary had more people voted. for her than Trump, but of course the Electoral College, and now they're trying to revamp that. But let's get past it. Let's look at a new something. If you guys went out and voted this past year, I know my wife and I, we went early voted. There's no straight Democratic ticket anymore. The Republicans have made sure to went in and dismantle that straight ticket voting that we are so used to doing, that we go in and we get a straight ticket and we walk up out of there.
Wow. You have to actually do your research now.
The problem is, and that's really a blessing. That's a blessing and a curse, because you're going to have so many black people who are going to be confused at the poll now. But you're going to have, what this is making you do is do your homework and figure out what parties and what each person's political affiliation is and what they represent. It'll make you do a little homework and a little reading, which is something that we need to do anyway and educate ourselves before we go to the polls. But I'm hoping that it turns out where we actually start to, hopefully we start to study who our candidates are and what their proposals and what they are for and what they are against. And we start voting to people in there who have the black agenda as their forefront to help black America instead of just sticking anybody in office. You know, so I hope that's what comes out of the fact that they dismantle the straight ticket voting. I go against the grain pretty much every week.
First of all, Hillary wasn't much of a better choice than Trump anyway. The only difference in Hillary and Trump is we know what Trump stands because he don't hide it. Hillary does. She don't refer to us as predators back in the day. So vote for her ain't much different than Trump. You know, she just keep up in her back pocket the way she really feel about us. But with that said,
KJ, hold on. You know, sometimes you can take what somebody say out of context. I mean, you could just take a few words of what someone say and make you think what they think. We don't know exactly what they think. I mean,
that wasn't the only controversial comment she made. I just highlighted that one because that's the one most people
saying, did you read the whole entire thing that she said, though? I mean, people like to take what somebody say and just make it fit into their narrative.
Want me to give you some more quotes that she made? Because I just spoke on that one.
The problem is you're going to find something in somebody's past or someone's history and what they said and how someone took what they said out of context and make it into what they want to say. That's the only problem I have.
Hold on, fellas. We got to talk one at a time so everybody can be heard. KJ, you had a floor right now. Go ahead and say what you got to say.
I mean, she's implemented. She's defunded different programs that cater to urban communities. Her urban policies are anti-African American, but she was a senator in New York State. Her position is basically for the wealthy as well. She's implemented several policies in inner cities that defunded after school programs, which primarily cater to inner city youth, which primarily is African minorities, not just African Americans, but minorities in general. I just made that one because that's the one that everybody is familiar with. But she's done several things over the course of her political career that indirectly, on the surface, you wouldn't know it, but indirectly affects us in a negative way. But with that said, even if we did, take that aside. The reason why I brought it up anyway was because we talking about Democrat or Republican, but honestly, what are either one of them doing for black people? Because we still systematically oppressed. We still get redlined zone. We still get dealt with illegally. We still dealing with police brutality. So, I mean, what are either one of them doing for the black community?
Well, let me chime in right quick. Okay, who's that? Kenny Wayne?
Go ahead, Kenny Wayne.
The
presidential election is cool. It affects us, I'm going to say, maybe 40% of our life. The other 50% it starts at home. the mayor election, the sheriff and stuff like that, the governor.
Right.
That's what really affects them. Because, like,
well,
think
I,
about
I it. I beg to differ, Kenny Wayne. I don't even think it protects. It doesn't affect our day-to-day lives even 40%, I don't think. I think it's much less than that. I mean, personally, that's the way I feel, that the president's, the actual president's situation affects our day-to-day lives. Probably, I would say maybe 24% of our life. The rest of it, I agree with you, is more of our local, state and local elections. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I would just chime in that I really don't think it's worth even 40%. But I understand where you're going.
Yeah, I remember.
Right.
Yeah, I remember when Obama sent the stimulus package to Texas, right? And Rick Perry was governor. He didn't accept it.
Right.
Trump sent it. Greg Abbott accepted it with open arms.
Right.
That says a lot. We ain't going to accept your money, but we're going to accept his. But then Trump and Abbott, to me, is like Trump and Putin.
Right.
It's like whatever Trump say, Abbott is going to do.
Right.
He opened up state. He opened up. He wanted the country opened up. So
right.
Greg Abbott, he hurry up right behind him, opened it up. Now he having second thoughts. It's too late.
Exactly. It's too late.
Trump ain't going to never have a second thought because he ain't going to never try to admit to the fact he was wrong about anything.
Yeah,
you know,
no
so
about being wrong, brother.
Once he said, once he do it, that's it. Ain't no retraction there.
That's
ain't
it.
No, oops, my bad.
Yeah.
You'll
none
never hear that. But now, Greg Abbott, I saw the other day.
Like you said, he's a sociopath, so he never apologized for a thing in his life, probably. Just knowing, just seeing the way he carries himself and the way he moves through the government. And not only that, the way he moves when he goes to other countries. This man probably has never said, I apologize or I'm sorry for anything ever in his life. Yeah. So, I exactly understand what you're saying.
Concerning Hillary, remember she ran against Barack. Remember she ran against Obama, right?
Right.
But you remember how she tried to handle him?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
She came with him kind of, she tried to handle him kind of rough. You know, but look what he do. He handed him a rub. When he won, he played the pimp card on. Okay, I beat you, so now you come work for me. There was like some Jay-Z and Nas.
Exactly. Yeah, come on. Come on into the cabinet.
Yeah.
And let me.
Yeah, you gonna diss me? Yeah, you gonna diss me? I'm gonna show you how powerful I am. Come on. So.
Right.
You know, Barack, he ain't no such thing as a perfect politician. You know, he had everybody going to have their fault. But like that article said, it wasn't about what he was trying to do. It was what they wasn't going to let him do.
Exactly.
You know, like I told one guy, man, Barack didn't do this, Barack didn't do that. Like I told him, I say, so what Barack's supposed to do? Or to bring structure back up in the South Park Third Ward, Center Side, Fifth Ward, and just open the doors, tell y'all, huh? Here you go.
Right.
Now, what he did is gave you the opportunity to see. He gave you an opportunity to see that if you try hard enough, get your mind right, you can move mountains.
Right.
But then I'm about to look at that. He still had that. What have you done for us lately mentality? Now, what have you done for yourself? That's what you should be at.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. I agree with you. But see, we have to understand that the president of the United States does not have real power. The president of the United States almost is a figurehead type position. The real power lies in the House and the Senate. You see what I'm saying? And the people don't party controls the House and the Senate really controls the government. So that between the House, the Senate, and then the third branch, which is the judicial system, which is the Supreme Court, which is controlled by the president's appointees that are put on there And that is a lifetime job. We still have some appointees from some presidents that are dead that are still on that panel. See, so we have to understand what we're dealing with when we're dealing with the political animal. And like you said, our most important elections to us as a people is our state and our local government elections. Those are the ones that we really, really need to do our homework on and concentrate, and we need to really do our, you know, due diligence when it comes to studying who we put in office in these, as far as our state senators, our governors, our judges that we put in place, the state legislators and all that who write the laws, and then you have the judges who interpret the laws and pass the laws out. You know, that's how our kids end up with 25 years for something that they should have got 3 years of probation for. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because we did not put the right judges and the right legislators and judicial people in office who will really truly govern them accordingly, not just because of the color of their skin. So we got to get back to understanding that part of our political system that we are, that we end up becoming a victim of because we don't put the people in place that can help us. We just stick people and let people get in office because we don't go out and vote for judges and all of those different legislators that can help, ease the pain of the black community and won't have Junior in jail for 20 years for something he should have did 20 months for. You know what I'm saying? So we got to get to that part of understanding what we're dealing with this political animal that we have to deal with. But that's enough about that. Let's move on to the next. I want to talk about the problem. I mean, I know it's something that we have to bring up every week, it seems like, but I just know it's a recurring problem because it happens every week to one of us or two of us or all of us. It doesn't matter. The problem is I want to talk about this police brutality and the black brothers that are being killed, tortured, beaten, wrongly accused, over police in our neighborhoods. Every week this is happening. We have to understand something as black Americans, black men, basically. We have to understand that racism is stemmed from the demonization of the black man ever since you got off the boat over here. Black people have been demonized since they brought us here. In the 1800s, when they pulled us off of those boats, we were demonized right then. We were seen as less than. We were not fit, treated like humans. They fed us when they felt like feeding us. They worked us when they felt like working us. They had sex with us when they felt like having sex with us. We were treated worse than animals at some points and sometimes in our history. But nowadays, they want us to act like this stuff never happened and you should be happy, you are equal to us now. We will never, ever be equal to the white society until white society dismantles their own racism. And it's going to take them to dismantle out their racism. We can't do it from the outside. I don't care what kind of protesting, but what kind of marching we do, what kind of songs we sing, all them "We Shall Overcome" songs and all that. That's all fine and dandy. That's to keep our spirits up within our community. But until white people decide that they are going to dismantle the systematic racism, it will continue. It will fester. It will thrive, it will flourish in the United States of America. Because that's what America was built upon. Regardless of what they want to talk about, America was built on the backs and the bloodshed and the racist attitudes that were taken with blacks since they took us off the boat. When they grabbed us off of those beaches over in Africa, took us on the boats and brought us over here and took us off the beach here in the United States, there has been racism, there has been demonization, there has been a systematic destructive force toward black people ever since then. And like I said, we can't do anything about it. They are going to have to decide that they are ready to dismantle this system, or it will continue to be a fabric of the United States of America. What do you guys think about that?
Man, where to begin?
Well, hey, at the beginning, Bob, no, that's all. Hey, look here. The beginning is so far back. You're right. Where do we begin? But I just wanted some insight on how you fellas felt about the systematic demonization of the black man and the racism that has become such an intricate fabric of the United States.
Well, first of all, let's look at reasons why a police force was created. The police force
right.
that we currently have was derived from the slave catchers.
Right, exactly. The
people don't understand that the police were used not just to police neighbors but to police slaves and keep slaves in check.
Exactly.
And so now we have
that's what modern day police forces grew out of.
That's what we talk about systemic racism with it's a system that was put in place that has been put in place. You know, just like
right.
the whole thing with slavery. You know, how did you know when they asked Mr. Lynch, you know, how do you keep Carolina with all these hundreds of slaves? And it is you and a couple of white boys. How do y'all keep all these slaves? How do you do it? And he took a trip from the Carolinas. He came and visited the South and visited the plantations. He was like, man, you guys are crazy. Y'all are you are brutalizing your property. You're tearing up your property. You're killing your property. You're vandalizing your own property. You're cutting off feet. You're chopping off this. You're killing this slave. You're beating that one till it's bloody. He said, you're vandalizing your own property. Why are you doing that? You know, you don't have to do that in order to keep these slaves in check. And he gave them a simple system. Put young against old, light against dark, woman against male, you know, and dehumanize the male. You take the male out of the equation, the dominating force in this household, you take him out of the equation, and it crumbles.
Right.
And he was right. And that,
right.
and he said, this system will live for 1,000 years. Well, Mr. Cook, in the 1700s, here it is, 400
mm-hmm.
years, damn near 400 years later, and we still got the same system of government. The system is still in check. The welfare system extends, even though that there are more whites on welfare than there are blacks, but we are the face of welfare.
Thank you.
And when you look at what happens in the welfare home, if you have your own welfare, you're a mother, a family of 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, that male can't live in that house. He can visit, sure enough. He might be here for the night, but his name ain't on the lease. Which further ostracizes and puts the male out of power, you know?
Well,
you know, I'm not saying
right.
there's nothing wrong with child support. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with child support, but the way they have child support set up further keeps the male out of the household. It's a system
right.
of devices. I ain't had no problem paying my child support for my son, but they had it set up, you know, they you know, it basically put my son's mother against me to an extent because
right.
she was filled with misinformation.
Right.
she's filled with misinformation. Hey, you know you can go back and get 14 years back support from him. No, you can't. My name was there on the birth certificate. You can only go back from the time that we took this test, and that was 6 months.
Right.
And so stuff like that further divides the home. You know, the child support, it doesn't go to the child. It goes to the mother. Well, the child doesn't know what's going on. The child only hears what happens at the dinner table. You know, your daddy
exactly.
ain't shit. He ain't this. He ain't that. But he doesn't see
right.
that mama got this little card with that little boy name on it. The money go to it every time daddy get paid. You know, this is pre-tax dollars that's going to that college. I had to deal with that with my own son. He had no idea. I was really proud when he came to me. Came in my chest, man. Poking me in my chest, talking about daddy, you dead. you know, a shot of pride came over me. I was like, you know, all right, you know what I mean? Okay, all right, you want to take this ride? We'll strap up. And I had to show him my check stub, and I had to do like they do in church. You know, at church they tell you read Malachi 3:8 where it says a man put your name, make the word personal to you. I said, look at my check where it says garnishment, put your name right there. Let's make this personal.
Right, exactly.
And he had to see that daddy wasn't dead beat. It was the perception of it because I wasn't going over there putting money in my hand in front of him.
Right.
But he hadn't heard
well,
asking about it. I'm like,
but those,
and then
know,
I had to show him.
That system is predicated on destroying the family, first of all. And like you said, there's a lot of misinformation and things of that's similar, you know, disseminated in that system that like you said, the kids aren't privy to how the system works when they're young. They only get one side
right.
of the story because they're with the custodial parent. They're with mama usually. Let's just be honest. It's usually mama. They're with
and
mama.
And James,
mama,
it's that, it's
mama
that
is
same.
Still,
it's
uh-huh.
that same misinformation that that Willie Lynch passed down in the 1700s to those slave owners. It's misinformation.
Oh, exactly.
You never let this hand see what the other hand is doing. You tell
never
them
let
this,
the left
but
hand
you do
the right
this.
Hand doing. Yeah.
And,
right.
that system has been in play with us for 400 years, and it's still in play. Look at what's happening on
right.
TV, man, with the Breonna Taylor case. We're going to show you this, but we ain't going to tell you all this. They just not got the tapes coming out now, listening to what was happening with because the cops, they doing their own investigation. And when they investigate
right.
their own, it wasn't with a grand jury. It, you know, they was leading them. So what you're saying is this is what happened, and you responded by this way. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's on audio, totally leaked because,
right.
and then we're being led to believe, well, this and this happened. Well, that's not the truth. Again, misinformation. So it's a thing of misinformation when it comes to us and them, because it's always us and them. And I'm not just talking about just black against white. I'm talking black men against everybody. It's always
right.
a misinformation
right.
with us. It's
well,
always
hold on,
a misinformation.
Hold on real quick. Let me see. This I hear people, not necessarily with us, but on different panels like Don Lemon, Trevor Noah. I listen to a lot, and I very seldom hear any of them make this point. I'm going to correlate this to football because I know me, Reggie, and JD play football. I mean, if y'all saw football,
I'll play ball too, bro.
Y'all played at some point too, Bobby Noah. And
everybody
Reggie
on this panel, hey, believe it or not.
Everybody
JD,
on this panel play ball.
Everybody on this panel. Kenny Wayne played at Sterling. Reggie played at Worthing. You played at Jones. I played at Jones.
I played at Booker T.
Steve, Steve was at Booker T. So everybody on this panel is a former athlete
okay.
and football player. So, yeah, you got the
this is
quality,
my, this
baby.
Is my, this is my analogy right here.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm a quarterback, right. if I'm a quarterback and I'm headed to the line of scrimmage, and it's 3rd and 3, and I see – Three defensive linemen, one nose tackle and two defensive ends, and they spray it out. And the players are paying
yeah.
to play. And it's only 3rd and 3. I see the whole defense in a dive package, everybody spray it out. What I'm going to do, I'm going to honor them into a running play because there ain't nobody in front of my old line. I got 5 hogs going against 3. Everybody spray it
right.
out. So I'm going to do what I want to do. Now, if I walk to that line and it's 3rd and 3, and I see two tackles, two defensive ends, the linebackers playing close to the line of scrimmage, the safety's creeped up to the line, I got to rethink some things because everybody on that defense is together. My point for saying
right.
that is
yep.
one of the reasons we get treated the way we get treated, when I say we, obviously I'm talking about African-Americans, is because we
right.
as a community don't have the collectiveness that we have. We don't have the togetherness that we need. People are less likely to deal with you any kind of way if they know that you as an individual have a support system behind you being the black community.
I understand exactly what you're saying because let me tell y'all something. I don't know if y'all remember J. Edgar Hoover, who was the head of the FBI at the time.
That cross-dressing
You know, yeah, exactly. They don't want to bring that up all the time, but I know that part of his history as well. But J. Edgar Hoover was the white man who was in charge of the information, the Federal Bureau of Investigations for the entire United States at this time. And when J. Edgar Hoover was asked this simple question, he was asked, what is the most important threat to the United States right now? Do you know what J. Edgar Hoover's answer was to that question? Two words.
It was black man.
He said black unity. That was it.
Yep.
That was his.
Black
he
unity.
Said that's the most important threat to the United States right now is black unity, and that was in the late 60s, early 70s.
And guess what?
This white
and
man,
he meant that.
This white man knew exactly. This white man knew exactly what could happen if black United States ever got together and joined forces. He said that would be the greatest threat to the United States life, the way of living, is black unity right now. See, you got to understand something. That's why when you was a little kid and you were standing by the water fountain in elementary school, there were five or six of you young black men standing there talking. Them white teachers would walk up and ask y'all what y'all doing. Why y'all standing here together? Because that is a threat to United States way of life, brother, black unity. We are too, I don't know if it's, we're too vindictive against one another, we're too mistrusting of one another to ever unify and use our power and our knowledge to overthrow a system that is designed to keep us spread apart. That is the whole design of the United States political system. The whole United States government wants to keep black families were the strongest unifying force in our society, and they knew that they had to destroy the black family if they wanted to keep their place of power. But we have so many things in our society that have taken hold and taken grasp of what we got going on trying to unify that we have stayed separated for all of these years, brother. In the late 60s, early 70s, black families were strong. And black families were even strong during slavery. You had black people still getting married and raising families on plantations under the threat of death and persecution. We were still having ceremonial marriages and jumping the broom and putting our families together and living together and growing together. We were still doing that throughout slavery, brother. And we knew it.
Well, you have to understand that was done,
a
lot of that was done with permission and oversight. You know, it was done with permission and oversight because you had to get permission.
But we still did it no matter what. Black families were strong during slavery, brother. And I mean, they would do everything. They would sell you off. They would break you away from your kids, you know, soon them kids to walk and to talk, they break them away and sell them off, and you allow to never see Junior again in his life. He gets sold 17 plantations away from him. But,
yeah,
you know, that's how committed they were to keeping the black families from unifying and becoming one. And they knew the power of black unity, but we as black people don't understand the power of our own black unity. We still do things to divide ourselves amongst each other, whether it be skin color, whether it be economics, whether it be education, whether it be whatever. I don't like the way his hair curly, mine nothing. I don't like him. You know, we find too many divisions amongst one another that keep us to the point of division. And we were like KJ was saying, our unity is the strongest power that we have. We cannot get it together. We cannot bring it together, brother. I don't understand it. Where do we have to begin to understand and see the same power that the white folks see in us, we need to see in us and start utilizing?
Well, that's a good question. Again,
right,
you know, like I say, you got to start, you know, where do you begin?
That's a good question. Right.
And where do you begin? You begin in the beginning, you know,
exactly.
And so what we have to do is
we have to understand that what we lack collectively, I mean, what we lack individually, we can damn sure make up for it collectively. Unfortunately,
exactly.
The Willie Lynch syndrome is so far ingrained and embedded. I mean, we still mistrust each other to an extent. And we've got people to further help divide us. I mean, that help tell us that we need to mistrust each other. I mean, if you think about it, it's not by happenstance that we have the people that we have on TV that say the things that they say on TV, the songs that we listen to on the radio. That's why it's called programming, and they have what's called a program director. These things don't happen by
right.
happenstance. You know, I've been living on this earth 47 years, and the things that I've seen, now that I've gotten older and I have a chance to think about it and see things for what they are, I get
right.
it now. I get it. I see that,
right.
that the way that I feel and think and what I see about, you know, how I feel about things is a program. I've been programmed to feel this way, to agree with this way, to understand this, to act like this. It's part of programming. Think about it. You all have a program in you. If one person get in the room and yawn, everybody's going to yawn. That's a primordial thing.
Right,
it's built into you.
Right.
It's a program. You're pre-programmed for this. So why couldn't you be pre-programmed
right.
to do some other stupid stuff? Because it's what you constantly see and hear on the radio, on TV, you know, subliminal messages. That was a movie.
Right.
I don't know if y'all remember that movie. And it was, I guess, with the aliens or whatever, and they had little machines, and the man couldn't see it until he had these shades on. I got to find the name of the movie.
I think I remember which movie you're talking about, Steve. Yeah, I think I remember
and it kept,
that.
And it kept saying
movie.
Sleep. Sleep. It kept
right.
saying sleep, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're dealing with. We're programmed.
Hey, JD.
We're pre-programmed.
Yes, sir.
I saw a video the other day, right?
Uh-huh.
I saw a video the other day, right? A young lady. I wish I could share it with all the brothers. I might have to find it and share it in the man cave.
Okay.
And the lady was like, we have to protect our children. She was, her son was watching something on YouTube, and it was called Officer Choker. It was a cartoon.
Oh, yeah, I saw
and
it.
And the show was called what?
I saw it. It's a cartoon.
Choker.
Where they grab this little young boy and holding him on the ground, and then another officer comes along and unload a clip on him twice. It's supposed to be a cartoon about a little black boy and two white officers. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. Kenny
I'm
one.
Saying.
Yeah, that lady was livid about this situation.
Yeah, but that's what they're showing us. That's what they're programming us. To see.
Well,
yeah, and that was
a 5-year-old kid
in
that
time.
And a 5-year-old kid see that. What is he supposed to think? What is he supposed to say? You know,
right.
That's why we try to, you know, like our grandchildren. Whatever they watch, we going out, I check. What you watch?
Right.
I look at it for a little bit, make sure it's good. But then I come on up out of it. Because right now, man, the way they. They attacking us everywhere. Our children, our grandchildren. They're just trying to separate us.
Right. You have to understand something, Kenny Wayne, that media is just what it says. Multimedia is just what it says.
Yeah.
It controls it controls the mindset, the mood of households and everything. Why do you think, I don't care what nobody say, I'm going to change the subject a little bit right now, but I don't care what nobody says, Bill Cosby is locked up because he tried to buy NBC.
Oh, yeah.
You may or may not agree with
him. Yeah.
But let me give y'all some background information on what happened with NBC. Which is stands for
for nothing but Cosby.
Right. Exactly. But let me tell you what happened.
Bill Cosby found out that they were going to sell NBC. Them people did not know that Bill Cosby been making money since the Fat Albert show. He been making money all his life since he was a teenager, a young black teenager. And Bill hadn't been spending his money frivolously. Bill had a lot of millions saved up. So when they put NBC on the market, Bill came to him with the money. When they found out Bill Cosby had the money and was going to buy NBC, they upped the price of NBC. Bill Cosby came back and got some other black prominent people, and had they all were going to invest together, including Ice Cube and a couple other rappers and a few other blacks that have a lot of money. I think Spike Lee was going to be included, and there's going to be quite a few black prominent millionaires. When they found out that Bill Cosby came up with an investment group of all black people that were going to came up with the new price for NBC, they took NBC off the market. It's no longer for sale. Then shortly after they took NBC off the market is when that white woman came out and accused Bill Cosby of something that she admittedly said she took the dope herself in the 60s and had the encounter with Bill Cosby. She never said that Bill Cosby gave her some dope and then had sex with her. She said that she willingly took the dope, which everybody in the 60s was doping, late 60s and early 70s. That was just a way of life. You know what I'm saying? Compared to, like, it was like us going by some innocence. They had heroin and cocaine and syrup and everything else. That was just a part of a Saturday night for them.
JD, as powerful as Bill Cosby was, as many women
right.
as Bill Cosby had and could have got, why would he go after
right.
a woman who looked like Richard Simmons? She looked like Richard Simmons.
Well,
you right.
She looked like Caitlyn Jenner before the surgery. Yeah,
she looked like Richard Simmons. She looked like Richard Simmons. I don't give a damn what nobody say. She looked like you. Google Richard Simmons and Google her and put them side by side.
Jay,
yeah, right.
Al, I know.
Yeah,
I know real. If she'd got niggas in front of me, it would have never happened.
Hey, I'd call laws on her. You get out of here, man. This white woman lost her mind. She done got naked over here in my house. I need the police in my house immediately, if not soon. Yeah, I'd call.
But JD.
Bad built in front of looking at that white girl was. She done got naked in my house. I'd call laws on her. She went to jail for indecent exposure.
If Bill Cosby was the man that he said he was, doing all that stuff, trying to get women like that, say, man,
right.
you mean to tell me Felicia Rashad ain't got a story to tell? Because she was there on the set with him. You mean Felicia ain't got a story to tell?
Well,
Lisa Bonet don't have a story to tell?
Right.
Huh?
Well, the thing about it is they all even Felicia, what's her name? Tempest.
Tempest Bledsoe?
Right. Tempest, Felicia, what's Rudy's name?
Keisha.
Name? Oh, anyway, Keisha, all of them said the Bill Cosby that they talked about in those indictments is not the Bill Cosby they know. You know what I'm saying? They say they have never seen evidence. But you have to understand that the allegations and all that that came from Bill came from, you know, those movies back in the day when he was doing with Sidney Poitier and all them cats.
Yeah.
That was kind of
Which Way
years,
Is Up
bro.
And all that, the black exploitation.
Yeah, which way? Yeah, that came from all them black exploitation eras. Like I said, in the late 60s and the early 70s, before Bill became, America's greatest dad, you know, before he came, he was nowhere near Cliff Huxtable at the time that they're talking about this stuff occurred. So that's what I'm saying.
So that's them Studio 54 days where everybody was doing dope and Quaaludes.
Dope
but here's the thing. But here's the thing, though.
Right. Exactly.
Here's the thing.
You know
where was the statute of limitations on this, man? Where was the statute?
Thank you.
JD,
Exactly.
I don't know about you,
exactly.
bro.
You're right.
I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I don't remember what I did last 4th of July, let alone what I did last week, the 4th of July. I don't know.
Right.
So you mean to tell me this
right.
woman got perfect recall about some shit that happened 40 years
oh,
ago?
Say, hey, J.D.
But like I said,
did y'all see that Eddie Griffin interview where he spoke on Bill Cosby? Yeah,
no,
like he said.
What
happened?
Talk about
it. He said it's a conspiracy, and then it's true. A black entertainer never leave the world, leave the entertainment clean. Something always going to happen to him. They had to try to destroy our so-called heroes in a heartbeat. Look at Michael Jackson. Oh, he's a pedophile.
Exactly.
But Michael Jackson owned a lot of percentage of song. Now all of a sudden he's a drug addict. All of a sudden he killed himself. Look at Prince.
Right.
Now he get his masters back from Warner Brothers. Now he's on drugs. Now he's going to commit a suicide.
Yeah, he did. Brother, let me tell you something. There is so much that happened in this world, and especially like entertainment lifestyles, man, that we are not privy to. We'll never understand. We'll never know. It just happens. Guys, like you say, end up just gone, dead. But like you said, Prince, I don't win. There's no way in the world Michael Jackson just all of a sudden ended up dead. It's just too coincidental. You know, Michael, then Prince. And then, I mean, it's just our black entertainers, once they usefulness is up, look what's happening to R. Kelly. Now, I'm not defending R. Kelly. R. Kelly is a sick little puppy, but R. Kelly is who R. Kelly is. If they were going to get R. Kelly, they should have got him back in 1991 when the first allegations popped up. But because R. Kelly was making so much money for so many people, it was a lot of people complicit in his situation that kept him out of jail and kept him making music and making millions. But once his usefulness was up, and some of those people that he had been making millions for saw no more use for him, then all of a sudden he's being indicted by the FBI. He, you know, not only the state, Chicago, PD and all that, but now all of a sudden it's a federal case. Because they know that with the feds come and get you, baby. They got a 98% conviction rate. So once they start getting some federal indictments on you, you're pretty much sunk, brother. So that's what's happening with R. Kelly being persecuted hell, the man married Aaliyah when she was like 14, 15 years old. So how in the world is it that we didn't know that he was a pedophile? You know what I'm saying? There were so many allegations ever since 1991 when the first girl said something about it that have been swept under the rug and started being swept under the rug until the last year or two now. The man had a sex tape out peeing on a girl that was 14 years old. It was so old, I had it on VHS tape. I was selling the bootleg on VHS tape. I mean, that was until I found out it was pedophilia, then I got rid of it. But I'm just saying, that's so many years ago that come he's just now being brought up on charges for that? You know, that's because he has served his usefulness to the industry and to the people who are making money off of him. So that's why he's being persecuted like he's been. And he's going to go to jail. He's going to get a bunch of time. And he'll probably spend most of the rest of his life in prison. And that's just it. But that is where we are.
That did it to himself really was Suge Knight.
Oh, yeah, Suge is idiot. That's all I can say. Suge didn't know how to put his behind down and shut the hell up.
He didn't know how to get out of his way.
Exactly. He didn't know how to get out of his own way.
Yeah, he wanted
Suge
to be the chief. He still wanted to be a hero. He still wanted to be a hood nigga. All them times you done went to prison and got out while you still had a little money, you wait to get this old to do what you done. Now you're going to probably die in there.
And then, not only that, you killed somebody on tape. You ran over this man back and forth on tape, brother.
they know it's you. That's your vehicle. They see you driving the vehicle. And then you walk into court like ain't nothing going to happen to you. Man, are you out of your mind? Sugar's gone for good, baby. Sugar will probably, yeah. like you say, he'll probably die in prison. Well, look here, fellas. We've had some heated and controversial topics brought up. I want to commend y'all on the way we handled tonight's conversation. We have about 5 minutes left. I want to give you guys an opportunity to go ahead and sign off and some last second, and I say second, you know, little tidbits you might want to leave the audience with. I'll start off with Big Reggio. I'm going to let you sign off first tonight. Big Reggio?
Well, okay, again, this is Big Reggio, Sunnyside, Texas. Fellas, as usual, I enjoy listening to y'all conversation. We're going to have to find a better way to communicate with each other so we all get a chance to speak, because I'm really not getting a chance to say much to you guys and,
right,
you know,
right,
giving
right,
my
right.
feedback. I guess the longer we do this, the better it'll be.
Yeah, most definitely. Oh, and by the way, fellas, next week I'm going to I've signed us up to start using a video situation called StreamYard. So we will be able to use that, and we'll be videoing, and everybody will be face-to-face next week. So get yourself prepared. I'll be talking to y'all during the week, and we'll get y'all going. All right, Kenny Wayne, go ahead and sign off, baby.
All right, man, I really enjoyed this conversation. I had a heap up earlier, but good seeing you today too, JD.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Always love.
And to the other brothers, man, stay strong, stay prayed up, and don't let them get you down, man. We're going to win.
Amen. Already. Whether they want us to or not. All right, Steve-O, go ahead, baby.
All right, this is Big Steve coming live and direct from South Park to Heim Clark to Spring, Texas. I want to send a heartfelt... Hey, man, hey, I went to Reverend Nemo's church as a kid. I went to
right.
Candy Stripe Academy with Miss Mayfield on MLK. I grew up in
right,
the Burgundy
right,
Apartments
right.
off of 610 and 45. You know what I'm saying? I grew up,
yeah,
you know.
Is,
so I want to send a shout-out to my son Malcolm, my oldest son. His grandmother
uh-huh.
passed away early this morning. She was the matriarch of the family. So I want to send a
okay.
shout-out to my son Malcolm King and his family. Thank you, man.
Right.
You know, it was somehow, especially in this time to deal with that,
right.
you know, I'm just praying for his strength, and I hope and pray that that my brothers in Blog Talk Radio, man, will keep my son and his family uplifted in this time
most
of need.
Definitely.
I thank you
most,
and I appreciate
yeah, yeah.
you. All
right.
And these men have blessings. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right, Reverend KJ, it's only appropriate that we talk to Reverend KJ as the last one. You go ahead and sign off, brother.
Man, I just wanted to send five fingers to a fist, man. The quicker we come together, the harder we can hit. Love hearing y'all, fellas.
Exactly. All right, love
amen.
You, bro. Hey, man, again, this is JD.
Yeah.
It's JD's Man Cave, and I enjoyed tonight's conversation, fellas. It's always full of intellect and dialect. So I appreciate y'all, man, and like I said, next week we're going to use a different format, so hopefully we can get this thing together and get it as smooth as possible. But I love y'all, appreciate y'all, man, and I'll see y'all later this week. Take care, brother. Y'all have a good one.
All right.
You too.
Bye.
You too.